is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, we check in with State Representative Christine Goodwin. A lot of things going on. Last week, you had legislative days, but I guess all of that was virtual again this time around.
Yes, it was. And hello, everyone. Thank you for having me again. I always enjoy talking to my district.
So last week, legislative days, how many days did that run?
Well, it's all week long. The committees that we serve on have fairly lengthy, sometimes 2.5-3 hour meetings. So I'm currently serving on behavioral health. And also, I was just appointed to Environment and Natural Resources. So in those meetings, we're given presentations on various areas relating to that committee. It's kind of Hollywood Squares, you know, times three. There can be, if it's a work group or with various people that enter into the conversation, but it's just bringing us up to speed on issues and giving us the information we're going to need. Deciding on bills.
So getting in on natural resources, was that one that you had sought, or did it kind of come to you?
No, I did seek. I asked Speaker Kotek for that early on in the process. It's, of course, living in Douglas County, our county full of natural resource industries. I really wanted to participate in that committee. And so there was a little change, you know, one change kind of creates other change in Salem, evidently. So there was an opening. And she appointed me in that position.
So as you went through the course of the legislative days, how do you think everything flowed?
Well, I think the virtual meetings are nice, especially for those of us who live a little distance from Salem. I am excited to get in the Capitol in February, and actually I was hoping we would have in-person meetings. I'm still a person that likes that contact, that relationship, getting to know people, particularly on the other side of the aisle. We have to work together on a lot of issues, and I was excited about that. But it turns out we're going to be probably doing virtual even when we're in the Capitol. So we'll start our days like at 8 a.m. and we'll have an hour and a half committee meeting, and then we'll go to the caucus room, discuss the bills coming forward on the floor, and then we will be on the floor.
And even if it is all virtual, or most of it is, at least being there in the same building, there is some opportunity then for some of that one-on-one contact.
Yes, well, at least our offices are open, so that's good news. And everybody, of course, many of the legislators who've already been there have their offices. They were kind of locked down for a while, but they're just kind of refreshing those. I have to really move into an office and get that ready for work. And I'm looking forward to it, though, because there's a lot of interaction. People have told me, of course, I haven't had any long-term experience there, but I think that interaction, even with lobbyists and the other reps, senators, is really an important part of the process.
Well, and obviously you're dealing with two different things here. You had the pandemic and everything that came with that, but then also kind of a capital construction project and other
Yes.
things that involved moving people around too.
Yes. And on the COVID front, well, a couple things we understand are going to happen. We were arguing for what requested from the speaker that we not have to wear face masks while we are speaking. So we have desks on the floor, we're distanced from each other. When we are presenting a bill or doing a remonstrance, we have a 3-minute time at the mic, and we requested that we not wear our face masks. It's hard to hear, right? And it's kind of an unnatural process. But so far, we have not been, that request has not been allowed. There's also, we understand, higher security in the Capitol. So now they've put in metal detectors at all the entrances. And I don't like that we are really making obstacles to the citizens to come in and watch their process. This is their Capitol, and these are their legislators that they have elected. And that concerns me. They're even doing our parking garages in the tunnel into the Capitol, all of that is now with metal detectors.
And I understand, at least from what I was told originally, that this has become a lot more common in a lot of other state capitals, county, you know, courthouses and places like that.
Yes. Yes. Sadly, we are very concerned about security.
So for being a member of the Republican Party, what are your thoughts going into this session about the potential to have impact while still clearly in the minority?
Well, I think I approach this as what I can do and not what I can't do. If you allowed yourself to get frustrated about being in the minority, I think you would lose opportunities to really serve your district, because there are things, really good things we can do for the people in our district. There's projects underway in this district that I've become involved with. I'm sort of the liaison between city and work closely with city officials as well as our county officials, really making sure we are protecting, serving the citizens of Douglas County. So there are a lot of interesting bills coming forward. Those, and I can talk a little bit about that process. I'm not sure if that's interesting to people, but.
Well, I'm curious because I know that with the shorter session, there's a limitation on the number of bills. What about ones that you're going to put forward?
Yes. So we each are allowed in short session to bring forward two bills, and then the committees also can bring forward three bills. So there's a lot of bills to study. The two that I have drafted, one is the Veterans Mortuary Bill. So this one was sort of left and didn't get completed in long session. But it turns out there are cremains of our veterans that are left in basements, you know, in storage, in funeral homes. Families have not claimed those. And there have been remains as from World War I that have been discovered. So the request is, or what the law will be now, that these funeral homes reach out to the Veterans Service officers, which are appointed by the county, and those cremains will be buried honorably, as they should be.
And that seems like a fairly routine bill. I imagine that's not one that you're worried about having trouble getting through.
No, I'm not. I mean, the only opposition, and I can't imagine why, would be the funeral director lobby, but that's not a very good look. And I don't think, you know, it's really not. It's no criticism of them, that just nobody claimed those and they have been left there. So it's just the next step to finalize that. So I don't anticipate any opposition.
So that's one. What else are you putting out there?
The second is the predator damage control districts. These have been very effective in Douglas and Coos County particularly, but other counties sort of variations. But this is a self-taxing. So there's criteria to form the district within our county. And they self-tax, they create revenue to pay for the predator control that is already existing. There's nothing new there. Our county pays for those services through the ODF&W. Wildlife professionals do all kinds of lethal and non-lethal methods to control predators. Forests, ranches, farmlands, there's considerable damage to the investments of these individuals. So they form their own district. They have an advisory board. It is working really well. It offsets the cost of the county. There's no additional fund at all. There's no money request from the state. So it's really the bill, the district's just sunsetted. So we have to repeal the sunset. So I don't know. You know, there's always some environmental groups that may have issue with it. We're working with the Farm Bureau and other lobbyists. And I think we've addressed the things in the bill that concerned in long session. So I think we'll have success there.
All right, going to take a break. Back with more in a moment on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Christine Goodwin. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245. Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 later this afternoon. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden joins us tomorrow for the morning conversation at 8:30. And County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on Inside Douglas County tomorrow at 12:30. State Representative Christine Goodwin in now talking about Oregon State Legislature and the upcoming session. It's 35 days, and that was set up kind of with one parameter. Do you feel like, and obviously you're newer at this, so you don't have, you know, the back, going back to look at other sessions, but do you feel like the workload is doable in those 35 days, just in terms of what looks like it's coming down the pike?
It looks packed. So with 60 reps, each with two bills and three bills coming out of committees, it's a lot to take in. And that's what I've been in study and preparation for those bills and to make decisions about those bills. And it's a lot. And my understanding is, of course, initially in a two-year term, you had 6 months in Salem. And then people went back to their lives, right? So it was considered a part-time gig, if you will. But now they've added the short session to it. And it really has, it's a problem to get legislators to recruit because people have to leave their work for 6 months at a time and leave their family or take their family there. So it's quite a sacrifice to do this in a two-year period.
Do you see, even being newer and with a lot of things being virtual since you've been in office, that it's that there are a lot of people that might be interested but really can't serve? I mean, there's a lot of jobs where if you said, I'm going to be gone for 6 months, they'd say, yeah, well, just keep going.
Exactly. Well, that is what we're running into. Just had a meeting this morning about that very thing and recruiting people in the state. And, people that are really qualified, that have had a lot of experience, that really allows them to do this work well, I think are the people that are always busy. And it is hard to just drop everything and go to Salem.
And sometimes, unless you own your own company and can pull extra staff in or pay for somebody to essentially do your job while you're gone, it would be pretty tough.
And that's the process I'm in right now with my husband's office. I've been administrating that, and I'm having to teach and train new people to do that work because I'll be in Salem all week and come home on the weekend. So unlikely I'm going to want to go down and work all weekend as well.
So anything you're hearing from the governor so far about what she would like to see done in this session, and then what's the Republican response?
You know, I haven't heard anything from the governor. I know the speaker is the one who's really been organizing legislation. Now, this Friday is her last day. So all the talk in the Capitol is really about who will take over as speaker, that little power vacuum there, and just who's sliding. I mean, there's just a lot of movement overall. People leaving, I know, in our caucus from rep seats, moving to the Senate side or congressional. There's several retirements. One individual I think very highly of has had, for health reasons, had to give it up. So there's going to be 10 new just in our caucus side, at least.
So a week or so ago, you kind of made an announcement about your future plans. Talk about that.
I did. When I first, as you know, when I was appointed in this position, it was to fill the balance of Representative Gary Leaf's term of a year and a half. So, and at the time, I really didn't know what the work would be. And as I have gotten in there, I realized that it is interesting and it really is important work, that you develop some experience in it. And I could see that I was going to have gained these skills and experience in the job, and then it would be the end at the end of 22. So when that with the redistricting, and I can talk a little bit about that, but the House District 4, I'm in serving House District 2. People don't even often know their districts very well because they're not clean lines like they used to be. So House District 4 has moved all the way up and allowed me, because I have legal residence there, to run for House District 4. The legislators, the caucus, really encouraged me to do so for that very reason, that it's important to have incumbency and the experience of incumbency.
And so now that district, you're going to be essentially at the north end of it. And how far down south does it go?
It goes to Central Point. So, and it sort of overlaps with what my district is now. So it will move. So it moves down. The biggest areas, it'll be Rogue River, Central Point, but it really, it's Canyonville, Riddle, Days Creek, Azalea, Glendale, Gold Hill. It just, it's kind of along the I-5 corridor, Merlin, so in Josephine County a little bit, but Central Point is at the end of House District 4. And they're very, I know these reps very well. We work together very well. We have a Southern Oregon coalition because we have very similar interests, issues in state government.
And that district, the person that's been in there is somebody that was going to retire?
Yes, Dwayne Stark, Representative Dwayne Stark. And he's an excellent representative and has been a great mentor to me.
So what's been the reaction of folks to your announcement, especially with the district change?
Very positive. I just want to thank everybody so much for their encouragement. I am so flattered when people say to me, thank you so much for doing this work. We know we have to have good people in there who are not just, I didn't plan my life to be a politician. This was not even on my radar, you know, a year ago. But it takes people who are in the real world, living a real life, understanding how these state laws impact us, because they can sound really good, but that's not how they really play out in the real world. So I think it needs people like me, even though it's a big, steep learning curve. And certainly the people that have been in offices or been in Salem, worked on other staffs, you know, they have a bit of an advantage because they know the Capitol a little better and all those protocols. But I still think people like me need to be engaged and fighting the battles.
So with all the virtualness of things the last few months, have you really had a chance to meet very many of the lawmakers in person?
Well, you know, we interact. Virtual is still a good opportunity to interact. I think what I miss is there's not a lot of opportunity to ask questions. So you can be in a meeting for 2.5-3 hours and there's kind of sections of presentation, and then you get to the end of that and it's hard to really ask all the questions. So I'll get to those. I'm not shy about asking questions, and I need to really use my resources. I have been building those resources, people I go to who are experts in that field, and study, you know, as I'm looking at a bill closely, call them right, you know, the day of, let's say, we're going in to take a vote. And of course, legislators each have their areas of expertise. There's no way you can just be a master of all of these subjects that are coming at us. But so we go to those people we trust and we know have had years of experience in that. And that's my plan to navigate the next few weeks.
And going with a new House leader, mm-hmm. and going with changes in the Senate, ultimately at the end of the year, it looks like a lot of changes really ahead in Salem.
I think so. And the polling is showing that people are pretty frustrated. I mean, the same kind of frustration nationally is spilling over to the state race. We don't If my emails are any indication, people are very frustrated with the mandates and the policies of the governor.
All right, out of time for now. State Representative Christine Goodwin, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Well,
you've been been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.